I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This hour of the Greg Hill Show is brought to you by 495 Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Summer Clearance Event. Stop in today for your new 2019 Ram 1500 truck, which I have.
And now.
Last night I was shooting the breeze by the fire pit. I'm like, you hear the Hillman? And my buddy's like, yeah. He's like, we're liking it. Get good.
So, all right, good.
I'll go with a strong 9-2. You guys have really come a long way.
Well, listen, give us a little while here, you know? We're like the Patriots receiving corps.
Cultural change is hard.
Still broadcasting from beautiful and safe Brighton, Massachusetts.
Everybody be safe tonight and tomorrow. Safe,
guys. All across the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Or streaming at WEEI.com.
And the Radio.com app.
Intercom.
This is
The Greg Hill Show.
The Greg Hill Morning Show.
What's going on, everybody?
Good morning.
Morjesta. What's up?
With your host, Greg Hill.
As Mr. Kraft once said, and I continue to play that audio every chance I get, I've been there since the beginning.
You have.
Less than enthusiastic response there, guys.
Featuring Greg's trusty sidekick, Danielle Murr.
I just want to tell Danielle one thing. Greg's come a long way from Chris Engel, so people know that name. Danielle, you're a big upgrade.
Yeah, she's an upgrade.
That. Joined by...
They jealous of us!
Wiggy.
What? Do we even need to say that Wiggy is here?
I mean, no, I think it's obvious. I mean, can you talk a little more? Can you bring the energy
I'm
up?
I'm trying.
And Wiggy is the best thing to happen to this radio station.
Wow.
That might be a little
bit. Rich, don't back down. Listen, stay true to your guns.
And still here, Ken and Curtis.
Ken, fake take Laird, may have been speculating about last week.
Uh-oh. Ken, do you want to weigh in on this?
Really pathetic.
It's pathetic. Oh,
shut up, two-dimensional.
We could have done a remote on Storo Drive. There was nobody there.
By the way, Danielle is already clubhouse leader for Sick Burn of the Day, calling you Flat Stanley.
Are you like that?
I thought that was I was tight. I'm thinking about mailing Curtis to a friend in Cincinnati later today.
Now, it's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show.
How could it happen?
What are we doing as a society?
On Sports Radio.
From your lips to God's ears.
WEEI.
Well, it's a Wiggy Friday. Do we have some kind of a catchy morning zoo name for Wiggy's appearance on this show? Fridays with Wiggy, Wiggy Friday.
I think that's Fitzy's job to come up with it.
Yeah. Yes.
Fitzy's been impersonating you on the show.
Yes, to come up with the, the comedic one-liners.
Yeah, that's what he does. He comes up with the zingers.
The zingers. Now he has that. So he has all weekend to come up with a good idea for money. Because nothing's ever organic. So.
How you doing, Wiggy?
I am good. How are you guys doing?
Good,
Great. We got a lot to cover on the show. In fact, a texter wants to know if we are actually going to talk sports this morning. And maybe we will.
I don't know. I haven't really decided. What are we talking about? What happened?
You haven't decided yet?
I thought we were talking Chung and Blow.
Yes. We'll see.
That sounds like a new movie.
Chung
and Blow 2.
Yes. Chung and Blow 2?
Straight to DVD.
You know what? We'll see if you, as a former New England Patriot, will turtle on the Patrick Chung story. Worse than Scott Zolak turtled during the game last night.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
But he
works for the organization. So.
Now, listen. Of course, we got to talk Patriots. We'll talk Patriots. We'll talk Patrick Chung. We got a lot going on in the show. Julian Edelman will join us at some point this morning. I don't know, Curtis, if we know what time Bubs Edelman will be on or not.
Yeah, we know it's TBD.
TBD is when Julian Edelman will join us. And yesterday. Today, we got the opportunity to talk to Jeremy Piven, who was in here, and We will probably replay that at about 7:50 or so, I'm guessing. Yep. Is that about right?
Yes, sir.
Did you like Jeremy Piven yesterday?
Spectacular.
Really?
Yes, it was an unbelievable. There are very rare moments now. You know, you get a little bit seasoned doing this. You meet people often. But seeing him stumble out of the car and then come in here and to be able to use my own money to buy him breakfast or lunch or dinner, whatever
Excuse
it was.
Excuse me, your dad's money.
Yes, my dad was very happy to do that for Ari Gold.
Wait, it was an awesome encounter. Are you speculating about his condition when he arrived here yesterday?
I'm totally slanderously speculating about his condition, but he was awesome. I thought the interview was great.
Yeah.
He was great.
Yeah. Well, I think he was on a flight or something. So
we did three shows the night before. Yeah, the guy's exhausted.
He was tired. He may have had a couple beverages on the plane or something, like, who knows?
I don't judge that.
Who knows? But, all right, Jeremy Piven coming up at 7:50 on today's show. Now, right at the start of the program, it's time for this.
This is The Leap.
Great choice when it comes to that Jimi Hendrix lead. Did Ken do those before he left? We got to give credit where credit is due, Curtis.
Yes, Ken Laird put those together before his departure to Pittsburgh.
All right, and Ken's back on Monday,
yes,
I'm assuming?
He is.
All right.
All right, this morning, guys, I'm going to take a brief victory lap. Yesterday, I was the only person in New England with the balls to say that Jarrett Stidham would come in right after Brady and play the rest of the game, and that's what happened.
Yeah.
But Skip Bayless, ever eager to take the spotlight away from me, tweeted, "Interesting that Belichick replaced Brady not with backup Brian Hoyer, but with rookie Jarrett Stidham. Belichick obviously wants to replace Brady sooner than later. Now he has his next Brady. So wrong, so jealous, so Bill."
He got that all out of, three preseason games?
Yeah.
But that's what Bill wants to do. He wants to get Stidham in to see if he can really maybe do it against Carolina's second unit, maybe even a little bit of the first unit sprinkled in there. Because who knows? You might only want to carry two quarterbacks. But, you know, and if you're going to carry two, then Hoyer would be odd man out.
Of course he would. But it's not because Belichick wants to get rid of Brady right now.
No. Listen, I've said this before. Brady will be here for the next 4 years.
Four years?
Yes, he will be here for the next 4 years.
Wiggy says 4 years.
I say 4 years.
Write that down.
When you interview him, you can ask him.
Okay.
Tell him I told you.
Monday, he will be on the show.
Online dating is now the most popular way that couples meet. It is official, according to Stanford University.
Online dating. Nobody meets anybody in person, out in public, at some kind of an event or grocery shopping or anything like that anymore.
No, because we don't know how to do interpersonal communication.
Well, online dating seems like a great idea.
Yeah.
Right? You could kind of put everything you want in there.
Yeah. I mean, right.
And there are a lot of this, Tinder? There's a bunch of the Match.com.
Stop trying to act like you don't know what Tinder is.
No, I know what it is.
But
I've been married 22 years. There was no online dating when I was around. It was just go up to the woman and be like, hey, this is how it's going down.
Right. And you're on there under a different persona, right? You're on Tinder.
It's a burner account.
You have a burner account. What's your lead this morning, Wiggy?
All right. In honor of Fitzy, I'm going to try to fill in the best way I can. So I wrote some stuff down.
Oh, my God.
Yes, I wrote some. I mean, that's how he does it, right? Yeah. So I have to go with Greg. You know what last night was? It was the dress rehearsal. If you don't know what the dress rehearsal is, that is the third preseason game for all the Patriots fans out there.
Yes.
Right? So all the Patriots fans saying, hey, what's been going on, third preseason game? Because I did hear his lead yesterday, so I'm going to take a little page out of it.
Did you understand what his lead was yesterday?
No. I'm going to see if I can do mine.
By the way, how bad is it if Nick does a lead and even Wiggy doesn't understand what it is?
Unbelievable.
Well, I'm going to do my best Nick impersonation.
Okay.
So, Patriots Nation, third preseason game. You know what that means. Okay, here's where I insert cheesy movie comedic reference. Did I say that out loud? I'm sorry about that.
Wow.
Like Denzel Washington, Tom Brady was Alonzo, and he said King Kong ain't got ish on me.
Okay.
Football is back, right?
Football's back, yeah.
Football is back. We all know that, Greg. And the Patriots, they're all back out there, and third preseason game is the dress rehearsal. Here's where I insert cheesy music comic reference. Oh, I didn't mean to say that out loud.
Uh-huh.
Just like Jack, and that's right, Reggie Hammond, my man, if you don't know him, They made the movie 48 Hours popular, but there was a song by the Bus Boys, and they said it. The boys are back.
The boys are back.
Yes, there you go.
All right.
And that's my take for today.
Curtis, can you translate that for everybody?
I'm Jermaine Wiggins. I had nothing prepared, so I did this right here. Greg.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, I guess we can all stop whining about the traffic because a study is out from the Texas A&M University Transportation Institute, and our city, Boston, does not even make the top five worst commutes in this country.
Fake news.
I believe that. I've been to LA, I've been to Atlanta, and talk about traffic places. Those places are absolute hell holes when you're talking about driving. So I believe Boston, it's not too bad. New York, you been to New York?
Yeah, horrible, right?
I would say Boston that's a true statement.
All right, I don't want to hear any whining from any of us, that includes me, anymore about your commute to work this morning or any other morning. So we'll cover all of that this morning. We'll find out, as I mentioned earlier, whether Wiggy is going to turtle worse than Zolak did during the game last night when we talk about Patrick Chung. You can join us if you want on the phone, 617-779-7937, or you can text on the text line, which is 37937.
OMF, weekdays from 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Dana-Farber Cancer Center and the Boston Marathon. Jimmy Fund Walk presented by Hyundai happening on Sunday, September 22nd. Here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Patriots beat the Panthers 10-3 last night in their third preseason game. Tom Brady saw his first action of the season playing the entire first quarter and a bit of the second. Brady went 8 of 12 passing for 75 yards. Brian Hoyer did not play. Jared Stidham relieved Brady in the second and played the rest of the game, going 15-19. Passing for 134 yards, and Steven Gostkowski, missed a 43-yard field goal. Patriots moved to 3-0 this preseason, their final preseason game against the Giants next Thursday at Gillette. Patriots safety Patrick Chung was indicted on August 8th in Belknap County, New Hampshire, for felony possession of cocaine. The indictment stems from an incident on June 25th near Lake Winnipesaukee, where Chung owns a home. No one else was charged in the incident. His arraignment is set for next Wednesday at 8:45 a.m. 12 minutes was the time it took for Brock Holt to hit a walk-off double against the Royals yesterday at Fenway in a 5-4 win. That game originally suspended in the 10th on August 7th, but resumed yesterday. Sox start an 8-game West Coast road trip against the Padres in San Diego tonight. 9:10 pregame on the Shaw's and Star Market WEI Red Sox Radio Network. First pitch at 10:10 with Joe Castiglione and Josh Lewin. Celtics legend Bob Cousy was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom by President Trump yesterday in an Oval Office ceremony, and that's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEI.
Reports of the indictment of Patriots safety Patrick Chung recently in Belknap County, New Hampshire, with a pending arraignment. The Patriots released a statement today. We are aware of the reports regarding Patrick Chung. We will not be commenting while his judicial proceedings take place. Scott Zolak, he's been indicted on possession of cocaine charges to be arraigned next week.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the statement speaks for itself. And I think if you're around this organization, when they release a statement, as we've learned, you know, you defer to that statement.
But man, I still think them cats are crazy. They were asking if you were around, how you was, where you could be found. I told them you were living downtown.
Not much out of Zolak last night. Wiggy, I mean, listen, you've been trained well, like every single New England Patriot. We'll see whether you're going to follow the team line or not this morning, and whether you've been giving talking points or not. Yeah.
They put out a statement, Greg. I don't know if you heard it already.
I did.
You saw it. There's a statement out there.
Nick is off today. He was at the game last night. Wiggy is here. I guess what else would you expect? It's the broadcast in the preseason. The Patriots control the broadcast. I wouldn't expect that they would have a 15 or 20 minute discussion on Patrick Chung. I mean, right?
You'd give your opinion about what you thought of the whole situation. But in the Patrick Chung case, right, it's very interesting because of the details that we know, right? When you look at these details, we know that there was some cocaine substance found, in his house. It wasn't on his person. Like, so it's not like he was carrying it. So who knows where this came from? He's not there. The police go there for a B&E call.
Well, like the alarm went off, yeah. Right? So he's got the house up in Meredith, New Hampshire, in Winnipesaukee.
Right.
And the alarm goes off. He's not there. And the police go, and I'm not in law enforcement. However, I believe that their obligation is to go in. I am an honorary member of the Massachusetts Police Union,
yeah.
I believe. But yeah.
You just had that sticker so you can put it on the back of your car and get pulled over.
He's got like 19 stickers.
Yeah, you're not gonna lie.
Plus like an official business placard from 2017 on the back.
I'm a resident Dwight Schrute.
You think that's a lie?
If they give me the sticker, I put it on the car. I don't know if it helps or anything.
You make your $10 donation when they call.
But they have an obligation to go in the house and check and make sure, and they found cocaine. Now, would you guess that Patrick Chung would say it belongs to a nefarious person that is in his group, in his group of friends, Wiggy?
Here's what I would look at, right? In the first situation, you guys probably have house alarms, right? Mm-hmm. And you've had them before. When they go off, generally the alarm company calls you instantly,
right,
and says, hey, listen, your alarm went off. Was there somebody there? What's the code? This, that, and the other. Do you want us to send the police over? Or, whatever. It might be your kid that's coming in after school and forgets to hit it. So they probably called him. And that's what I'm wondering. Did the alarm company call him? How much did he know? So now when the police get there and they go in, they can only look around. It's like they could go through his drawers or in his closet or anything like that without a warrant. So they go in and it's... And if it's on like a coffee table or wherever it is, it's out in the open.
Mm. Yeah.
This now tells me, okay, maybe somebody had a party there the night before. And like, I'm thinking like, who's dumb enough to just leave coke out? And we know that it wasn't a lot because when he's indicted, it wasn't like he was indicted with, intent to sell.
Right. Or so, distribute. Yeah.
Right, yeah. It's just possession. So it's for whoever it was, they needed a little, they needed a couple rippers to get going and forgot to clean up. And and now Patrick Chung, he's the one that's at the, when you look at this, what's the NFL going to do? That's the biggest question.
Well, they have to suspend him.
No, they don't. No, because there's no,
how can they prove it's his?
Right, that's it. And then with the whole Tyreek Hill situation, I think the NFL is in a position now where they're like, and they said this with Tyreek Hill, we're not going to do anything until we get all the information and law enforcement kind of, plays this thing out. We see this thing play out because, like you said, Danielle, there's no guarantees. Who's to say he doesn't listen, I had some work done at my house. I gave it to, the construction company that came in and I don't know.
Yeah.
It wasn't like it was on him.
Maybe he can blame it on Ty Law's cousin.
I was on that plane.
You were on that plane?
Coming back from Buffalo.
Yes. Well, if he is not found guilty, then the NFL can do nothing.
Well, they can do what they want. That's the thing. Goodell can make the decision. Is this conduct detrimental to the league or does this... does this affect the conduct policy? So Goodell can really do what he wants to do.
Yeah.
But I've always said with Goodell, it's what side of the bed he wakes up on.
Yeah.
If he wakes up on the good side of the bed, he might just be like, hey, there's nothing to see. Very similar to the Daron Harmon situation. You remember Daron Harmon when he was coming back from, I forget where it was.
Costa Rica, I think.
Was it Costa Rica? And they found a little bit of... a little bit of marijuana on him. And
yeah.
Nothing happened. So
we don't know what side of the bed Patrick Chung wakes up on because he never can fall asleep, apparently.
That's true.
Yes, Curtis?
So I don't know if we have time to speak.
Maybe you should hang out with Patrick Chung.
I didn't say that. Who said that? I hope Patrick Chung is not listening
now. Get your energy up.
Yes, what?
I don't know if we have time to sneak this in, but this is the entirety of the Patriots statement that they referenced during the radio broadcast.
Okay.
We are aware of reports regarding Patrick Chung. We will not be commenting while his judicial proceedings take place. So I don't think Belichick's going to be doing any addressing of this at any point. And my guess is this sort of goes away. The fact that he wasn't there,
right,
that he has no background or history regarding any of these substances, or I don't know if he's in the program. I guess we would have found out that he was already in the program if he was indeed prior.
He's not going to end up being in court until March of next year.
Right.
So this season, everything's fine.
Yeah, everything's good.
It does.
And the thing I would say is this, and, you know, knowing Patrick, right, and done some stuff with him and hung out with him.
What do you mean by done some stuff with him?
Some charitable stuff.
Yes.
The thing I would say is he's a smart guy, right?
Yeah.
And so this happened the 25th. There's no way in my mind, I believe, that the Patriots did not see this coming, right? So this happens. He finds out. However, the police, you know, they now have to reach out to him or his attorneys and say, hey, listen, here's what we found at your house. Here's what we are now going to do. I would think that he, maybe it was a few days later, no more than a week later, reaches out to the Patriots and says, hey, Bill, here's what's coming down the pipeline.
How tough is that conversation with Bill Belichick?
Well, it's really tough, but if you're like Patrick Chung and you have a good relationship with Bill, and Bill's always talked highly of him, maybe it's a little bit easy, and you know why, you got to get out ahead of it. So
yeah,
I'm willing to bet you that they knew this was coming, and so that's why, you know, people are like, well, what do you think Bill's going to do with him, that kind of thing. He had to tell Bill, like, hey, listen, heads up, here's what happened, and it wasn't mine or whatever it might have been. Told them what the real story is, and then Bill saying, all right, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to let the courts play it all out, make sure you got your lawyer and everything on it. But they knew about it, the Patriots. I mean, I don't think Patrick wouldn't tell them. Their first knowledge about it couldn't have been yesterday like everybody else.
No,
that would assume, be a bad look.
No. I would assume that they know. Right. I would assume that they've known for quite some time, yeah. I would imagine. And theoretically, I'm not a prosecutor either.
Honorary member of the bar.
No, I'm not an honorary member of the Bar Association. However, I would assume it is difficult to convict somebody if they're not at their home at the time, and you just find cocaine in the home.
Right.
I think it's probably hard to convict somebody if it's not on their person.
Right.
I would imagine.
Especially when it's such a small amount, and you're talking about an amount that you know is for personal use. It wasn't like they found 3 kilos in his house, and now it's like, uh-oh, we need to start building a case and maybe start finding out what's going on.
Yeah.
Or they would have probably already been doing that. It's you look at this situation, you go, yeah, it's not on him. It's in his house. He could easily be like, you know, there's a lot of people coming in and out of my house. I'm remodeling it. And it's one of those things where, you know, the prosecutor DA is going to go like, hey, listen, there's nothing here. So that was kind of interesting that that DA had talked about it yesterday. The dude, I forget what the DA's name, he put out the statement and was saying all this stuff, because it's something that this case would get thrown out.
Yeah. All right. Well, Wiggy's here. Obviously a lot to talk about when it comes to Patrick Chung. Last night's game, we're going to get into that. Talk a little bit of
sports
on the show this morning, Wiggy.
I didn't know what we do.
Little bit of sports on the show with Wiggy. We're going to be joined in at some point this morning by Julian Bubs Edelman of the New England Patriots. I don't know what time Edelman will be on. It'll be whenever he gets up and gets rolling this morning.
Yep.
We will also replay play for the first time, I guess, our interview with Jeremy Piven, which we did yesterday. We're going to do that at about 7:50 or so. Curtis got off a couple pretty good questions during that interview with Jeremy Piven. So we'll have that for you coming up at 7:50 on this morning's Greg Hill Show.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
I just think there are signs that indicate, and I thought this would have been sped up had Jimmy G stayed. But clearly, once the Jimmy G situation was resolved by Mr. Kraft, mm-hmm. I just believe Coach Belichick went back into the draft, found him a quarterback that he likes, Jerry Stidham,
yep.
And he says, okay, Josh, coach him up. Yep. Because, Skip, for me, and you and I both believe this,
yep.
That Coach Belichick believes it's his system. He believes that he can get any other piece. I don't care what position you play, what side of the ball you play on. He believes that he can go get him a guy and fit in and never miss a beat. Mm. So there are indicators, and I feel that this is his last year in New England. Mm.
I think what Shannon Sharp is saying is that this is Tom Brady's last season here in New England.
They'll let any moron speak nowadays, right?
By the way, that's irony that that you just said that. Yes. That would be irony.
I'm far from a moron. Idiot? Maybe. Moron?
No. I can't with the debate about Brady until the season is over. I don't know about you. I just can't. It's like we have so many other things to talk about in this world.
The problem is we always go back to this. Like, oh, here's the next guy. We started with Ryan Mallett, and then it was, you know, obviously with the Jimmy Garoppolo. It's like, oh, it's any, and you can put any quarterback in that system, and Bill will be fine. And here it is, Jared Stidham goes out. He's he has a good game. A little struggles against not Detroit, but the second week he struggled a little bit against Tennessee. Then he plays well, and there's Brady's replacement.
Right.
And Shannon Sharpe should know better as a guy who played in the league for 15 years that you can't judge anybody based off of preseason.
Shannon Sharpe should know better are words never to be uttered on this
podcast. That is very true, Curtis. But a guy that's been in the league a long time and knows that preseason means nothing. It's like having a great show on Saturday and Sunday.
Right.
It means absolutely nothing. What can you do in the day part? So he should know that, listen, let's pump our brakes right now with Stidham. And I understand Brady's only got the one-year deal, but they should get something done. They're not going to go into this and lose Brady with Stidham coming in and being the guy next year.
What about the fact that Hoyer did not play at all last night? Does that mean something?
Well, see, it could. But then the thing that I look at, it could mean something, because generally if they're putting a guy in that early in the game, they want to see what he can do against maybe some of the ones that are still left in the game. And if he can perform well, then do I make the decision of keeping two quarterbacks or three quarterbacks? And we saw the Patriots do this before. But then you have to look at Hoyer's money. I think he's like guaranteed like $1.2 million or something like that. So is it worth, you know, maybe taking that hit on Hoyer and saying, because his dead cap would be $1.7 million? So do we do that?
This is Alex, who is joining us. I think if I can get Alex on this morning. Hey, Alex, what's up?
Hi, how are you?
What's going on?
Three things. First thing is I heard Wiggy when he predicted that the Chargers going to get killed by the Patriots in the playoffs. So I trust anything he says.
Yep,
number two is that I listened to your show, and I like the Lucy and Danielle take on whatever, what women think.
Yeah,
what's going on in their month.
Okay.
And then my main question to Wiggy is this. You being a receiver with Tom and stuff like that, how was him and Jacoby Meyer last night? I'm going to hang up.
All right. You hang up.
Well, that was the one thing that stood out to me last night. And, you know, I don't want to get bogged down into the X's and O's. But Jacoby Meyer, we talked about him having a great offseason, a great summer, great camp. He gets his first opportunity with Brady. And it don't go well. You know, there's the pass that he should be running through the safety, and Brady throws him the ball, but he's kind of running like, oh, you were throwing that to me? Was I supposed to be? And then there's the one he drops, and then he gets called for the holding, and there was one time where Brady had to tell him get off the line and go. So there was some incidents where I saw Myers in the situation yesterday getting an opportunity with Brady, and he really didn't take advantage of it. Then you see him get in there with Stidham. And he's catching balls. It's a little bit easier when you're going against the Scribinis.
Yeah. And is the fact that it's the first time that he's been out there game-wise with Tom, is that a factor for him?
You know what? Here's what I would say, Greg. I think it's about the pressure being out there with Tom. You know, if you're in a pressure situation, you guys know, okay, now the bright lights are on. We got to perform. Everybody's listening. You know, we made our jump from AAF. Now we're over here. And it's like the bright lights are on.
That's why we have you here. Yes.
But, so the pressure's different when you now are in a situation where, okay, here people are watching and they're saying, what are you now going to do? And you go out there and you make some plays. And you see, because there was one time, I don't know how much of the game you saw, but there was one time when he dropped that ball early in the game.
Yep.
And you could see it in his face like, oh.
Yeah.
You know, the look on his face was like, man, I done F this thing up.
Yeah.
Are they going to cut me tomorrow? And that's probably his thought process.
That's probably what's going through his head.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
As an undrafted guy. And then you think, you start to look over, then you go, wait a second. Demaryius Thomas is dressed up. They brought Josh Gordon has been reinstated. Jesus, where's a spot for me? N'Keal Harry's a first-round draft pick, so you know he's making the roster. And you're an undrafted guy, and you start to think like, oof.
So when you say that preseason is meaningless, it really isn't. Because
for guys like Brady.
It's meaningless.
Meaningless for Brady,
right.
Edelman, who we'll talk to later.
Yeah.
Those guys, they don't need preseason. But
well, it's not really meaningless for Brady because Jacoby Myers just totally lost the trust of Brady last night. And with Brady and receivers, that's you can quickly lose that. It's very difficult to gain that back. Ocho Cinco with the Patriots
came in. Ocho Cinco was during the regular season. I don't think Brady's going to lose confidence in Jacoby Myers from yesterday's game because if you saw him later on in the game, he's kind of talking to him on the sideline. I think it's more from the coach's standpoint who are now the guys who make the decision on the roster. Brady's not going to lose confidence in just in one game like that, but he knows the eye in the sky and the coach is meeting, and you got all these other receivers coming back, and you're an undrafted guy. Yeah, but it is meaningless to those guys. Like, Brady doesn't need – what the hell does he need preseason for? Or Kyle Van Noy, when he got hurt, I was like, oh, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Sean McVay said, I'm not playing none of my guys.
We have some audio post-game from the man that Wiggy says is theoretically no longer going to be catching balls from Tom Brady.
I wouldn't say, like, please. I'm not really satisfied with it. I mean, I'm happy that I was able to get through in the first moment, but it still kind of bothered me. The fact that we were able to get the win at the end of the day, I'd say.
Was that an intimidating moment when Tom gave you that look after that play?
I wouldn't say intimidating. I was like, man, I'm really being yelled at by Tom Brady.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you have to be yelled at by anybody, you want to be yelled at by Tom Brady. I'm sure it happened to you.
Yeah, well, not as much because Tom was still kind of coming on for, you know, learning himself as a quarterback.
He never gave you the stare.
No, not that
never
I
told
recall.
You to shut up.
No. Tom. Listen, I think I might have had maybe one more year than Tom at that time. So.
You were the one giving the stare.
No,
is what you're saying.
Yeah,
Wiggy.
I wasn't giving nobody a stare. If anything, I wasn't Tom. Man, like, hey, anytime you want to throw me the ball, I'm open. I'll catch it for you. Bill was the one you had to worry about, but now Tom's in a position where you obviously any receiver will tell you want to get on your quarterback's good side. You want to be in his good graces because at the end of the day, he's the one who's like, if you're in the doghouse, you ain't getting the ball.
Wiggy is here. We're going to talk to Julian Edelman at some point this morning about last night and other things. We will play our interview with Jeremy Piven coming up at 7:50. I want to talk briefly about my lead this morning. My lead this morning was that we can all stop whining about the traffic here in the city because Texas A&M University has a transportation institute and they have come out with their annual study. They've been doing it since 1982, and it turns out that Boston is not even in the top five when it comes to the worst commutes.
It's amazing to me, given what we deal with every day. Like, it's just, it's shocking seeing what happens on the road and whatnot, that you try to go anywhere in the state. And, you know, we talked about this yesterday. Boston going from the Back Bay to the seaport, it'll take you 2 hours at 2:30 in the afternoon. It's insane.
But have you been other places, though? Like, I don't know what the top five are, but there's five cities that I could be like, okay, they're ahead of Boston. I've been in L.A., and what's it called, the I-10 there?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Oh, forget about it.
Yeah. Oh, it's like, forget about it. There was a video of guys playing basketball out on the freeway because of traffic.
Los Angeles is number one.
Yes.
As I guess you would imagine.
Yep.
You waste 119 hours sitting in traffic in L.A. a year. 119 hours. Isn't that nuts?
I would definitely put a gun in my mouth. There's no way.
God. Traffic.
Good morning.
Hello.
I'm sorry. That traffic. Forget about it.
San Francisco is number two.
Yes.
Okay. I could see that.
And it's 103 hours a year that those driving in San Francisco waste.
Nightmare.
Sitting in traffic.
And you can't even get a plastic bag there to carry your stuff into the car.
Washington, D.C. is number three.
I was just down in D.C. Down there. Oh, God. Another ish show. I don't get it. I mean, I don't get it how the traffic is crazy. I don't know who the morons that have started, but yeah, D.C. is another crazy traffic place.
Well, do you buy that it is Uber I mean, that's what the mayor said. So when we had the mayor on during the Jimmy Fund radio telethon, and he was saying that there were 41, this number is staggering to me. There were 41 million Uber rides in the city last year. How is that possible?
I know, it's unbelievable.
41 million?
Yeah, that's especially when you got the T. So it seems like you'd easily jump on that.
That's the problem.
When
is
it
that
works.
I think that's the problem, really, is that people don't feel confident in taking the T. Otherwise, you would not have to take an Uber every single time.
Right, and there's 40 million of those 41 million Ubers last year were going 40 miles an hour in the fast lane of the Mass Pike. That's all they do. They clog that left lane every single time. You get behind a car that's going a little slow. You get back behind it. It's either an Uber
Lyft
or a
light.
Lyft. Right.
It's the Uber drivers don't know how to drive. That's the problem. I remember, you know, during the good old days when taxi drivers were like, you know, can get you to A to B and didn't care about running people over, anything going up on side. Nowadays, the Uber drivers, they can't drive. And the other thing that kills the traffic in the city, too, is them stupid bike people.
It's a person on a bicycle, Wiggy. That's what they have to be called. Yeah, I learned that recently.
Yeah, they don't want to be called
cyclists. They want to be called a person on a bicycle because cyclist is dehumanizing.
Right. They don't want to be dehumanized. Right. So they.
Anybody over 12 years old riding a bike looks like an idiot. So,
really?
Yes.
Really?
They should not be riding bikes in the city. That's the thing that irritates the hell out of me. And they're a big part of traffic.
Well, I'll tell you what. They're not very courteous. Have you ever been in the North End where they have the brand new green bike lanes?
Yep. Yes.
Now, we as pedestrians are, I hate to break it to these people, we are allowed to walk across that area. I was down there yesterday, North End, doing a little business.
Yes.
And I'm walking across the thing, and this dude is, you know, at breakneck speed on his bike. And yell, you know, several expletives in my direction because I dared to walk across the thing. You can't get away with that if you're driving and you're not letting every single person cross crosswalk wise.
Right.
You're gonna be in trouble. The bikes, I don't think they have as much courtesy toward the pedestrians as they should.
Well, they don't. And the other thing is that people nowadays they don't know how to walk across the street.
No.
Because I was just driving the other day, and there are people out there who do the right things, but this lady's walking across the street, and there's clearly like a red hand up saying, don't do it.
Yeah.
And she's just like strolling. Mm-hmm. Strolling.
Well, nobody pays attention to
that. Well, that's why people get hit by cars at times. Yeah,
nobody pays attention.
No biker ever obeys any of the laws of the road.
No.
Like, they'll go the wrong way, down a one way, they won't look, they'll run a red light, and they have carte blanche to do whatever they want on any street.
Now, I will not buy the assertion that you made that no person over 12 ought to be on a bike.
You shouldn't. I mean, really. Why are you, let's say, a 25, 30-year-old person riding a bike?
Well, you're trying to do something for the environment.
Or maybe you're mutt and you get a Dewey.
Yes! there's a teak. I mean, it's like...
Teak doesn't work, Wiggy. Every other day there's a fire, there's the lines down on the track, we can't get it going.
What about a grown man on a scooter? Should a grown man be on a scooter at any time?
No, get your motorcycle, man. Get off a scooter. What are you, 16, a scooter?
Rounding out the top five are New York City at number four, and the New York commuters are wasting about 92 hours a year sitting in traffic, and Chicago is number five. Boston ends up being number six when it comes to the worst commutes in the United States of America. Hello, Paul.
Good morning.
What's up, Paul?
I'd like to make 2 points if I may. The traffic thing, those cities that they're talking about, don't shut down. Boston shuts down
for
like a 4-hour period, so I'm not sure how much validity there really is in this. And the other thing about the Patriots, I often wonder if Belichick, Brady, and Kraft all have a room that they sit in and plan how they can stick their arms up the butts of the media and work them like puppets. Have a great day.
Yeah, there is actually a room where they do that. It's just off of Bill's office.
All right. Well, anyway, You can't whine about the traffic anymore because your drive this morning is not even one of the worst five drives that will be experienced by commuters in this country today.
I'm still doing it. I don't care. I'm still going to whine.
You're still going to whine.
If you pull the audio from my dash cam, it's me saying things that my mother would be horrified at.
Well, that's because you live in one of the worst parts of it. It's one way in, one way out.
1A all the way, kid. It sucks.
A texter says that they call foul on Marty Walsh, saying that there were 41 million Uber trips last year. That's 112,000 a day. But if you think of
how many short trips people take within the city, because a lot of people in Boston don't have cars for whatever reasons, because we're putting up buildings everywhere and there's nowhere to friggin' park. But, you know, a lot of these people will Uber from their apartment in the Back Bay to a restaurant in the Seaport or over to the North End or whatever. So a lot of those, I think, are short trips. It's not long hauls.
But if they're Ubering, doesn't that mean that those are less cars that are out there, because all these people that supposedly live in the city that are Ubering, they're not driving. They don't have cars.
Then you have that Uber. This is the problem with Uber. Yes, while the Uber is on the road with the passenger, that is a car that would likely be on the road anyway. Mm-hmm. I get that. The problem is when they're circling, waiting to pick up. That's when you have all this extra traffic. And like Curtis mentioned earlier, because I come through the Ted Williams Tunnel every morning. Speed limit's 45 in the tunnel. There's always some dope doing 37 in like an Accord.
Right.
And I get up next to them, and it's some guy with his elbow out the window. I get all day.
What's wrong with that?
You're in the passing lane, guy. Get the frig out of the passing lane.
I'm with you.
You're impeding the flow of left lane traffic. Move over.
And I have a story in front of me here that says that there were 81.3 million rides for Uber and Lyft in 2018, up 25% from 2017.
81 million where?
Rides in the Boston area.
81 million?
Yes. In Massachusetts. I apologize. In the state of Massachusetts, not just Boston. 81.3 million.
Yeah, so 81 million in the state, 41 million in the city of Boston. Yeah. How could the traffic not be miserable?
Yeah, seriously. It's crazy.
How could it not be?
Yeah.
All right. Wiggy is here. At some point, I don't know when, we have to get to the Prince Andrew feet story. It's creepy AF. It is creepy AF.
All right, I need a wire brush.
But we have to get to that. Julian Edelman will join us at some point this morning talking football. And Jeremy Piven was in here yesterday, and we'll play the interview that we did with him coming up at 7:50 on today's Greg Hill Show.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.